getting the soccer team out of the cave.
None of them can swim or dive, so it's going to be a real challenge.
The newspaper gunman's eerie message.
The details in the letters are very disturbing.
And drink up. That cup of Joe is good for you.
Those who drank coffee were less likely to die.
This is the CBS World News Roundup presented by Zoom Video Conferencing.
Good morning, I'm Peter King. Now the divers have found 12 boys and their soccer coach deep in a flooded cave. They're trying to figure out exactly how to get them out of there. U.S. Air Force Captain Jessica Tate.
Everyone's coming together to figure out the next course of action and how to bring them out as safely and as quickly as possible.
CBS News correspondent Ben Tracy is in Chiang Rai Province in Thailand.
One thing they're considering is actually teaching them how to swim out with special dive masks so they can breathe, but it's pretty dangerous. The water in there is very murky, the passageways are narrow, and even experienced divers had a hard time getting to the boys doing that same thing. We're also told by one of the rescuers that these boys don't know how to swim. Another option is to simply leave them inside the cave, which some experts say is the best thing they could do, the safest thing, until the water recedes. The problem with that is it could take weeks, if not months.
One official has said they're preparing 4 months' worth of food and supplies to send into the cave. Another report says the coach could face criminal charges for taking the boys in there in the first place. A federal judge says the government has violated its own rules by detaining undocumented immigrants seeking asylum in the U.S. He says immigration officials have to consider each applicant on a case-by-case basis. In New York, the cheers were for a Guatemalan woman who was separated from her three children while crossing the border. Yeni Marisela Gonzalez Garcia is expected to be reunited with them today. Janie Pearl Starks is helping her. President Trump has reportedly written NATO leaders to complain that they're not paying their fair share for defense. We get more on that from the White House and CBS's Stephen Portnoy.
The letters, which the New York Times reports were sent last month, have the president warning of growing frustration here in the U.S., in his administration, and in Congress. The NATO partners committed in 2014 to the long-term goal of spending 2% of their national economies on defense. National Security Advisor John Bolton told CBS News this week.
If you think Russia is a threat, ask yourself this question. Why is Germany spending less than 1.2% of its GNP?
The president meets with the NATO allies in Brussels next week, just days before he sits with Russian leader Vladimir Putin. Peter?
President Trump says he'll name his Supreme Court nominee next Monday. CBS's Chip Reed says he's interviewed several candidates.
They are really incredible people.
Speaking to reporters in the Oval Office, President Trump called his interviews with four potential Supreme Court nominees, quote, very interesting, and said he would be meeting with two or three more candidates.
I think the person that is chosen will be outstanding.
According to the Washington Post, President Trump interviewed four federal appeals court judges, Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, Amal Thapar, and Raymond Kethledge.
Police say the man who shot and killed five people at the Annapolis Capital Gazette newsroom last week sent threatening letters to three locations that day, all stemming from his dismissed defamation suit against the papers. CBS's Nora O'Donnell.
In his letter to the appeals court, he writes, "If this is how the Maryland judiciary operates, the law now means nothing. You were too cowardly to confront those lies, and this is your receipt. I told you so." He also sent a letter to Judge Charles Moylan, one of the appellate judges in charge of the case. "Welcome, Mr. Moylan, to your unexpected legacy. You should have died."
Investigators say Jared Ramos also wrote that he was going to the newspaper offices to kill as many people as he could. Memorial services for the victims have begun. Friends and family remembering editor Rob Hyacin. This is his wife, Maria.
I know it's weird to stand here and say, I am lucky, but I am. He was my best friend. He was so generous and so loving.
Last night in Boise, Idaho, a city hall vigil and demonstration after a man stabbed nine people, including the three-year-old girl whose birthday they were celebrating Saturday night. Girl has died, and police say the suspect may have been looking for revenge after being told to leave the apartment complex because of his behavior. It's expected to be hotter than the 4th of July today in places like Dallas, Tulsa, Washington, D.C., and Columbia, South Carolina. In all those places, it'll feel like 105 degrees. So how do you keep your cool?
Basically, just got to stay in water. Kids are just too hot otherwise.
I'm Jim Krasula. It's a struggle to beat the heat, especially if you have to work outside.
It's tough. You just got to bear with it.
This time of year, longtime roofer Paul Tart is up with the roosters.
Earlier is the best. Beat the sun. I mean, of course it's going to get hot. You know, by 10, 11, it's already baking.
Tart's way to beat the heat, drinking gallons of water a day and taking 10-minute breaks in the shade each hour.
The midweek holiday means this is expected to be the busiest driving day for the 4th of July holiday travel period. CBS News correspondent Chris Van Cleve has been on an interstate near Washington, D.C.
The peak time between 3:30 and 6:30. In New York City, you could see the drive time more than double for a normal trip. The D.C. area will be close behind. So will Los Angeles. AAA estimates the Independence Day travel season will be the highest since it started tracking holiday travel 18 years ago. Nearly 47 million people are expected to travel. And the increase comes despite the highest gas prices for the 4th of July since 2014.
AAA says 4th of July is one of the deadliest holidays as well, much of that due to drunk driving. For coffee drinkers, that is the sound of music, especially first thing in the morning. And now researchers who studied 500,000 British adults say an extra cup, maybe more, of coffee will help you live longer. Here's CBS's Steve Futterman.
It turned out those who drank coffee were 10 to 15% less likely to die. And the study showed it didn't make any difference what type of coffee a person drinks. Instant, brewed, or decaffeinated, they all have benefits.
Researchers say early risers are less likely to be depressed than night owls. We get more on that from CBS's Stephen Kaufman.
Do sleep-wake preferences influence our risk of depression? A new study confirms that they do. The study's senior author, Eva Schoenhammer, says morning people come out the winners.
Less likely smoking, leaner, tend to work out a little more. You have a slightly lower risk of having type 2 diabetes compared to the evening types.
Researchers allow for the impact of environmental factors such as exposure to light and work schedule. Stephen Kaufman, CBS News.
A former University of Kansas student who was convicted of hacking the school's computers to change his grades gets probation. Prosecutors say the 20-year-old former engineering student used a keystroke logger program to change his grades from F to A's during his freshman year. That's the World News Roundup for Tuesday, July 3rd, 2018. I'm Peter King, CBS News.